Welcome back to the Film Experience Podcast. I'm Nathaniel, and in an effort to bring you this podcast more regularly, I thought we would have a rotating panel of guests, because I know you like to have it on the weekends. So today we're going to be hearing from some people you've been reading on the Film Experience. So we're going to be talking to Kurt from Your Movie Buddy, Michael from Serious Film, and Robert, who just finished the second season of Distant Relatives right here on the blog. Enjoy. Now we're all here.
Yay!
Hooray!
Okay, so we're very disorganized.
Nat, you're probably going to have to take charge to keep us all from talking over each other.
I'm a terrible host in a way, though, because I'm always like, BYOT, bring your own topics. I hope you prepared something to say. Okay, so this is Nathaniel Rogers from The Film Experience. For the listeners... you have read all of these guys we're talking to today, but you haven't heard their voices, so I'm going to introduce each of you. Michael?
Hello. You know me from my weekly article, Unsung Heroes, and when I occasionally drop in just to shoot my mouth off about, topics of the day. I operate the blog Serious Film, which I've been running for a little over a year now.
And Kurt?
Yeah, I'm Kurt Osenlund. I have been... contributing to the Film Experience for a couple months now. Unlike these other two guys, I don't have a regular column. However, I do chime in whenever I can about different things. Today we did the post on the Costume Institute Gala, which was very fun. And I also run the blog Your Movie Buddy, which usually ends up being an archive for my published work. I'm a freelance editor and critic in Philadelphia.
And very busy. You're always... I'm always seeing some new articles, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And Robert?
This is Robert. I am the author of the Distant Relatives series on the Film Experience, and before that, Modern Maestros.
And Robert, where are you located?
In beautiful Cleveland, Ohio.
So how's the movie scene there in Cleveland?
It's not bad. We've got some art house theaters. Whenever a production comes through and films a scene or two here in Cleveland, it blows the city's mind, and all the theater majors come out and try and get in the background, and it's pandemonium.
So have you ever been an extra in a movie?
I have not been an extra in a movie, no. Although they're talking about filming the Avengers here soon. So
wow.
Maybe around my corner of town, so that might be some fun. But a Christmas Story was filmed here, 30 years ago, and the city has not stopped talking about it.
Hey, you gotta work with your connections.
That's true.
And Kurt, you're in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Well, how are the movie theaters there?
Pretty good. There's three art house theaters in the older part of Philadelphia that gets pretty much everything about, I'd say, a week or 2 weeks after things are released in New York. Meek's Cutoff opens Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But then, the art house scene there is pretty good. And then there's a theater relatively close to me that gets things kind of second run. And then you have, all your multiplexes.
But you're close enough that you come to New York to see things, too.
Yeah, I've been going pretty frequently, and I've tried to see something every time that I've gone.
At least it's only movies. Some people, when they come here, it's... seeing a play every day, I don't know how they afford it.
Well, the movies are pretty pricey, too. I paid, I got reimbursed for it, but I paid, $17 to see Saw 3D, of all things.
For an assignment, you should clarify.
Yeah, for an assignment, which is crazy, because it was, Halloween, and I said, I'll do Paranormal Activity or Saw, And they're like, yeah, do Saw. And I hadn't seen one since, the second one, and I... really didn't think about what I was getting myself into.
Was it everything you'd hoped it would be in 3D?
it scraped away at my soul. So I don't know. I can't believe there's an audience for that, honestly. And there was a very old gentleman that walked out with me, and I was just kept wondering how he felt about seeing Saw 3D.
Well, 3D's older than him. It's never ending. People always act like it's new, and I'm like, I saw it when I was a little kid. It just doesn't look like those layers in where you could tell that the, you know, the one cell layer was the out of focus branches in front of the main image. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, the old style.
I remember Jaws 3D. That was the masterpiece when I was a kid.
Or the current style.
Jaws 3D was what sold, you know, my generation on the technology.
Oh, Jaws. How many? There have been so many of those. I wonder if there'll be a reboot of that one soon.
I was wondering. They haven't tapped into that one yet, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe when Piranha cools down.
Well, now in the fall, they have Piranha 3 Double D.
Double D?
Yeah. I keep getting all these press releases about it.
Well, at least they're honest about it. Okay, so we're going to talk about a couple new releases, but we'll go one by one. Have all you guys been obsessed with movies your whole life? And what is your significant other? How do they deal with your cinephilia? Michael?
I can't remember back to when I wasn't obsessed with movies. I used to type up, when I got a typewriter for my birthday when I was around 10, I used to type up top 10 lists on it.
That's awesome.
And I had good parents who did the right thing and, you know, showed me The Adventures of Robin Hood and The Great Escape and, you know, let me know what a good movie was. Pretty much from as far back as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And my significant other, I'm pretty lucky. I've got one who, if she's not as enthusiastic as I am, she's really good at faking it because she, if I come, you know, just the other day, I was just like, oh my God, the Film Forum is showing a Buster Keaton Festival with live music, and she seemed genuinely enthusiastic about that. But if she wasn't, you know, I was convinced. And so, yeah, she's got an open mind, and she's always interested to see stuff that I doubt one girlfriend in 100 is going to get excited about. So we get along pretty well. Sometimes I think I feel like she humors me like I'm Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man, and you just gotta let me keep talking until I get another message, and she's just gonna smile and nod. The other night we watched Before Sunset, and once it was over, I had to go on a spontaneous 10-minute monologue about how perfectly edited it was and what a perfect ending it is, and how I might just turn it back on and watch it all over again. She
Maybe she got a little scared at the last statement. Watch it all over again.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that felt like it was only 10 minutes long. I feel like I could just turn it on all over again. And, you know, I think she's used to putting up with rants such as that.
How about you, Kurt?
Yeah, I've always been obsessed with movies. An earlier memory or a good little anecdote would probably be Aliens. I was big into Aliens. I had, like, toy guns that I used to use electrical tape and tape these like plastic extensions on it and pretend it was like Ellen Ripley's flamethrower / grenade launcher / pulse rifle and climb under my parents' chairs and pretend I was in some kind of air shaft or something. But no, I've always been very into movies. I don't know, I really got into David Lynch, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, I really got into The Lord of the Rings, so I think I became much more appreciative of, you know, the avant-garde and the risk-taking mainstream as well. Yeah, always been very, very obsessed with film. My significant other, we've been together for about 3 years now, and he's not as enamored of going to the screenings as he used to be. He's kind of over it. He still comes to things, but he used to come to, like, every screening, and now he's not as into it, but he is very much into film. But I feel like after when it becomes something that is always a topic of conversation, he does get a little bit fatigued with it sometimes. But he's a good sport. I've learned to let him love his, you know, trash kind of things. Like, he might want to just revel in like a trashy movie that we saw, and rather than have me kind of pick it apart on the way home. So I've gotten better about not getting all film critic-y on the way home with certain things that he just wants to enjoy, because, you know, I don't want to take that experience away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that Michael brought up Before Sunset, because we just watched that recently, and I had actually never seen it, and I'd been dying to see it forever, and he fell asleep on the couch, and when he woke up, I was like, going nuts over it, because it was so, so great. And yeah, it really does feel like it goes by in, like, 5 minutes. I love the first one, too, but the second one is just perfection.
And Robert?
I think I was probably a late bloomer compared to everyone else. I think film didn't really pop for me till I was in high school, and it was just sort of this, holy heck, where has this been my whole life? But I don't remember being obsessed with it as a kid. I don't know. It's very mysterious for me. I remember being in high school and watching a movie every day, and then I remember earlier than that not, and I have no way to pinpoint sort of what made that turn happen. But it was sort of a very light shining down on me from above moment. And my wife, I mean, she loves movies too. It's funny, her movie love sort of manifests differently than mine. She's kind of got the fun 80s comedies, the Back to the Future, the Clue. She kind of brings that to the DVD collection, and where I've got like a shelf of Ingmar Bergman. So she's sort of lightened up my film perspective.
So you didn't have to throw out half the DVDs when you moved in together?
No, we didn't. We came from very different, equally film-loving worlds, but very different ones. But the adorable story that she likes to tell was on our first date, the first thing I asked her was, how do you feel about foreign cinema? And her answer was she hated François Truffaut.
Well, at least she knew who François Truffaut was, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was exactly my response. So it was, you know, it's been happiness ever since.
That's awesome.
Let me sing you a waltz. Out of nowhere, out of my thoughts. Let me sing you a waltz. One night stand. You were for me that night. Everything I always dreamt of in life. But now you're gone. You are far gone. All the way to your island of rain.
So have you all seen Meek's Cutoff?
Yes.
Yes.
I have not. I don't know. I don't think it's opened in Cleveland yet.
Okay.
So
I saw it so long ago. This will be all four perspectives. I saw it so long ago that it's really fuzzy in my memory.
I saw it when it first opened in New York about 3 weeks ago.
I saw it on Friday.
Oh, okay. So fresh out of it, Kurt. Is it still flickering in your mind?
Yeah, it definitely is. Should I avoid spoilers, Robert? I guess so.
Yeah, avoid spoilers.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if there are a whole lot of spoilers.
Yeah, her Kelly Reichardt, the movies aren't very plotty.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if there's much to spoil. I don't know if much happens.
Yeah, then there isn't.
Well, the ending is kind of a... Let's not discuss the ending.
Okay. I really loved it. I mean, it's definitely a movie where the experience kind of begins when it's over. But it's my first five-star movie of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite thing was just how much, there's always something big happening within the frame, some kind of like bold gesture. I was just really, really blown away by how much she was able to convey with so little, whether it was racial or political, or I think she was even able to tap into something profound enough that you kind of can't put a name on it. And it's not something that you necessarily feel as you're watching it, more so as when you're reflecting on it.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, did you have a similar?
I'm going to back off a little bit from him. I don't think it's quite five stars. Yeah, it's definitely an excellent film. And this is an essential one for anyone who's into film to catch. It's the first really essential viewing of 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Kelly Reichardt's best yet. I was especially taken with Bruce Greenwood as the Meek of the Cutoff, their guide, who's varying degrees of untrustworthy and incompetent. Greenwood's a guy who's been good for so many years. I mean, most people probably know him as Captain Pike from the new Star Trek reboot. I first became aware of him as Kennedy in 13 Days. He's always been kind of in the background delivering these good performances, but I thought he was just stellar here. He gave a really original performance. And I've seen it about 3 weeks ago, like I said, and it's really stayed with me. Mm-hmm. You said not to discuss the ending, but all I'll say is that it's, whether you like it or hate it, it's kind of maddening.
That's true, yeah.
No matter how you come down on it, the more I got away from the film, the more it worked for me. I think it's like the best ending of its kind since A Serious Man, if everyone remembers how that film ending. That's another one where at first I was just like, oh, come on. When it started to fade to black, I'm like, that's it. And mm-hmm. then I got a week or 2 weeks away from it, and I'm like, that was perfect. Because once the plot kind of fades away, you're left with the mystery of the film, and it, mm-hmm. it really works. I think it's a really good film.
Well, I think Kelly Reichardt, I don't know if I'm saying the last name correctly. I was just reading this piece in New York Times. They're talking about aspirational cinema. Did any of you read this?
Missed that one.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's definitely worth looking up, but it's about how film critics tend to respond to these really airy movies like Meek's Cut Off, where you can project a lot onto it as an audience member. And like what, and it mentions what Kurt said, where the experience really starts after it's over. It's all about, you know, your reflections of the movie. And that's, you know, people who, you know, obsess over cinema, they tend to respond to that movies. Whereas people who just go to the movies to enjoy movies tend to, you know, react strongly against that type of cinema. And they're referring to it as aspirational.
I'm saying it's funny you mention that because it is a pretty plotless film on the surface, but the more I thought about it, the more a very definite story emerged. It's just one that she never spells out about this looming confrontation between Michelle Williams and Meek, the guide who's probably, you know, guiding them to their doom. For anyone who doesn't know the story, it's, you know, the lost wagon train on the Oregon Trail, and they're just following this guy who clearly, it becomes clearer and clearer, has no idea where he's going, and no one is going to stand up to him, and they're just going to die out there. And slowly over the course of the film, Michelle Williams is the only one who's willing to stand up to this guy. And so I thought there was a really wonderful story about gender and her ability to speak up in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just all there under the surface. Nobody is spelling out anything. So mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of a riveting story, even if on the surface it seems plotless.
Yeah, I have to, I'm less enamored than either of you. I thought it was very good, but I prefer Wendy and Lucy.
I love Wendy and Lucy, too.
Were you guys coming into this as big Kelly Reichardt fans? Because I don't know, maybe I have to turn in my cinephile card, but I was sort of underwhelmed by Wendy and Lucy.
I really liked Wendy and Lucy. I still want to do like a double bill of Wendy and Lucy and Bicycle Thieves.
That would be a fascinating comparison. For someone who's kind of wishy-washy on Kelly Reichardt, I have to admit that like Meek's Cut Off is definitely fascinating to me, and probably, you know, I'm still eager to check it out, but I don't know.
So what was it about Wendy and Lucy that you didn't respond to, do you know?
I think I started just to get the sense that she was just being sort of needlessly brutal to Michelle Williams' character to make the point that, you know, that being poor sucks, which is not something I'm unsympathetic to, but it just seemed kind of one note and unnecessary how much she was punishing her.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a lot more from her here and doesn't punish her quite as much, I don't think. I was really blown away by even just Michelle Williams' glances in this movie, what she can do with her face. And Nathaniel, as we talked about earlier, and I included this in my review. I mean, I guess you could kind of tribute Michelle Williams' kind of art house ascent, which has been for the last like 6 years, to her Oscar nomination for Brokeback Mountain. But the choices she's been making and the things that she's been doing, I feel like I don't really know what the moment was when she became so fascinating, but she's starting to shape herself. Like, I'm starting to regard her in my mind as like this new sort of American Tilda Swinton, just based on the kind of projects that she chooses. I have a lot of respect for her, and she's not as kind of transformative. She's not like a chameleon, but I love the things that she does.
Yeah, I have a little harder time getting a beat on getting a bead on her in terms of her persona than I do with Tilda Swinton. I mean, it's an interesting comparison, but we'll see. It's pretty early for with Michelle.
It's a bold comparison to make, I know. I picture Tilda Swinton as being like the ultimate in terms of having great taste in projects, and I'm just starting to see a lot of that from Michelle Williams. So,
If I could chime in, I'd have to agree. I don't know about her persona or what I would think of as a Michelle Williams film, but her after this and Blue Valentine and a number and Wendy and Lucy, her name on a project is enough to get me interested. There's probably something there.
You could definitely say that about Tilda, except for her little foray into some studios, no-budget projects.
She got me through Narnia. If it weren't for her, I would have dozed off during Narnia, just waiting for her to come back on screen.
Well, try sitting through the second one where she's only in it for like 30 seconds.
I will not do that.
Yeah, it was a slog.
That's YouTube. I'll check her clip out on YouTube and fulfill my Tilda quota.
Has everyone seen Water for Elephants? Robert?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
What have you been doing with yourself in Cleveland?
Oh, trying to avoid the cold, maybe. No, Water for Elephants is out, but I don't know. It hasn't jumped out at me.
I know, Kurt, you hated it.
I did. Should I start?
And I kind of liked it, so I'm maybe we need a tiebreaker with Michael.
I'm going to go with Kurt here. This film was really bad.
You're going to gang up on me. I'm the host.
You went so easy on film in your review.
That's what's been keeping me away. Yeah, it's you guys and your ilk that have been telling me not to see it. I feel like I can't be blamed.
Yeah, I can't recommend anyone go see this film. I can't think of any reason that you need to go out to a theater to catch this one. It's pretty forgettable stuff.
But what if you really love elephants?
What if I really... I have Dumbo. I'll watch Dumbo again.
I will say that the forgettable tag I have no argument with, but as just an entertainment to go to and enjoy, I thought it was decent.
Can I throw this out to the group? I've never seen, I confess, I've never seen Robert Pattinson in a film before. I never saw a Twilight film. I didn't see Remember Me, which was, from what I understand, one big spoiler alert, which is like spoiler alert the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't see that weird-looking thing where he was Salvador Dali. Am I missing something? Because he was like, I don't like to just bash any one person, but I was kind of stunned. He was like negative space. There was nothing coming off of him. I don't see what everyone's excited about. The romantic triangle fell apart because his third bit was empty. The elephant gave a more interesting performance than his.
Well, God, then don't see Twilight. Because in the beginning, I was thinking, like, wow, he's actually bringing a little something this time, which faded away because it became extremely one-note. And
oh, Lord,
anything,
really?
But,
this was full Oscar nomination compared to Twilight.
Yes, very much so, yes. Well, the reviews have been getting to me because I feel like Christoph Waltz is hogging all the praise for this movie, but I wasn't even impressed with that. Like, I thought it was lazy casting. I thought he was just typecast for the role, and I thought he could have done the role in his. And I felt he was the greatest casualty of the movie's extreme lack of conflict. Like every mess is like cleaned up.
Oh, it was so flat.
And his villain was just completely rendered impotent by this movie's just insistence on cleaning it up so nicely. Like even in the introduction, when he was debating whether or not to let him stay on the train, there was like this moment of anger, and then in the next second they were buddy buddy on the top of the train. And it was just there was no drama.
Speaking of drama, it was here that we started losing people from the phone call and had a lot of technical problems. Moving on. I think this is a sign. This is a sign we need to move on from Water for Elephant.
Yeah. The gods of inert drama are frowning on us.
I'll just say, there's that scene where the elephant gets loose in the circus, and I was ready to be like, oh, here comes a really great set piece with this crazy elephant on the loose. And then they go to the middle of town, and the elephant is just kind of standing there on the sidewalk, and there's a cop standing there like, hey, get this elephant out of here. And they're like, oh, yes, officer. And that's it. big, crazy set piece. And they let, at the end...
It doesn't have, like, subtle beauty like a Kelly Reichardt film. Like, the elephant just stands there and is.
If it had been Reese Witherspoon and the elephant just kind of wandering impoverished around the town, I think that would have been a better film, yeah. Like, Kelly Reichardt take that one. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I'm back.
So is everyone here again? I think Robert Pattinson's agent is bugging our call. He wants this conversation to end.
All right. I've said my piece.
Well, did I miss anything about Michael was in the middle of a rant when we got cut off?
He just hates the movie as much as you do.
You can fill in the blanks.
Well, can I say one thing about the animal cruelty aspect?
Sure.
It's going to make me sound like a jerk, but I felt like... I eventually felt like if the best source of drama you have is this guy poking an elephant with a stick, big whoop. I don't know. Anyway, that's it.
So, okay, before we go, what is the last thing that you all saw on DVD or at the theater that really excited you? Robert, how about you?
Because I haven't seen anything so far. I just caught up with The Secret of Kells. And that was lots of fun. I don't know if you guys saw that. That's probably going on a couple of years old now, right?
Oh, is that the animated one?
That's the animated one that snuck into the animated category, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and a worthy choice, too.
Yeah, phenomenal. So, it's highly recommended.
Have you guys seen that?
Yes, Kurt? Very, very beautiful film. Just for the visuals alone. I mean, I could have watched it with the sound off.
Any great discoveries lately?
Well, I don't know if you would call it a discovery, but I saw Bridesmaid last week, and I really liked it a lot. I didn't expect to at all because it was billed as like the, you know, the female hangover, which does not sound appealing to me. It was really funny, and it actually had a pretty big heart, too, and not in a sappy kind of way, in a actually pretty charming kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen Wiig, who I feel has deserved a good leading role for a while now, finally gets it, which you can't necessarily tell from the trailer. It seems like it's more of an ensemble piece, but it's more kind of, she kind of takes the lead in it. And she co-wrote it, which I didn't know, so I'm sure that plays a big hand in why it ended up being so good.
Okay, well, it was fun to talk to you guys. Thanks for joining me. Once again, that was Michael from Serious Film.
Glad to be here.
Kurt from Your Movie Buddy.
Very glad to be here. I had a great time.
And Robert, who writes Distant Relatives.
Yes, who is blogging. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You.